Christmas night. Quietly she walked through my mind as I lay searching for sleep. Her soft hand reached out, she whispered my name as she brushed a tear from my cheek. And those funny, familiar, forgotten feels started walking all over my mind. It's sad, so sad, to watch love go bad. Just thankful for the good times we've had. Without them, I could not go on. With these funny, familiar, forgotten feelings walking all over my mind.
planetaudio.org.nz.
Flooding can happen anytime. Are you prepared? Don't wait for the rain to start bucketing down. Clear those gutters, tie down loose items, and make an emergency plan to keep your whānau safe. A few minutes now can help save stress later. Stay ahead of the storm and keep your loved ones safe. Visit aucklandemergencymanagement.govt.nz/floods to find out more.
I can't be here anymore. Just want it to be over. Over. Wanna walk where the clouds are big and covered in clover. Clouds of clover. I'm sorry I ever called. Should've never, ever, ever picked up the phone. Should've forgot your number. It's turned into a scary dream. I never wanted that at all. I never really thought you would answer. Now it's a big blown up thing. I wish you hadn't been at home when the telephone rang. The telephone rang. I've looked in faces that just looked away. Their eyes were dim and clouded. Can't see a thing. The pain of living with the hand that's dealt is more than I can stand. Can you take it? Can you take it? Can you take it? I can't forget all the mistakes I made. It'd take a lifetime to erase them. No, I can't go back. And even that would never change a thing. And I can't waste any more time. Time's a waste, time's a waste. I never really thought you would.
Well, welcome to the Third and Footlong Show, shorter edition tonight, and some beautiful music playing us in. Good evening. This is the Third and Footlong Show on Planet FM 104.6. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT.
Hello, DT. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. We're just going to do half the work tonight.
Half the work, yeah.
Half the work. So apologies, everyone who tuned in at 7 o'clock. If you're still here, we've had a few issues in the studio, but we are now back on air for our 15 minutes of fame.
I don't know. 15 minutes of fame. I think we got it.
Yeah. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a good weekend.
Excellent. Yeah, doing lots of arty stuff and all that cool stuff, weren't you?
I know, I was doing museums and all of that fun stuff and saw the modern art exhibition, Van Gogh or Goth or however you say his name.
Oh, wonderful stuff.
Real art buff here.
I was doing some entertaining stuff, so we're being really artistic and creative this weekend.
I know, we're doing well, Darren, we're doing well.
Right, let's go straight into it. Since we've got a short show tonight, let's go in with the dessert pie chart.
I know. Should I start off with my top five, or you got your stuff ready over there?
I've only got one.
You've got one
yeah.
pie. You when only I like one pie? One,
when I looked at that list, I'm like,
is it apple?
Maybe two.
Is it apple or is it banoffee?
Are you looking at me like that? I'm not giving that away. Come on, give us what you got.
Okay, from 5 to 1 or 1 to 5?
5 to 1.
5 to 1. We've got the apple tart, which is a Dutch apple pie. It's just got raisins and spices in it. Pastel de nata, which is Portuguese custard tart.
Here you go again.
I know. Key lime pie, which is American and from Florida. Chocolate pie, which is normally from the south of America. And then we have got the coconut cream pie coming in, number one for me.
Coconut cream pie.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not a dessert pie guy.
Yeah, I can tell from the text this week, Darren, pie.
Yeah, so if I've got to go, it's probably pecan pie, lemon meringue pie, apple pie.
Pecan pie?
Yeah.
Okay. What about pumpkin pie?
Nah. And pumpkin pie got 0 votes.
I don't really like pumpkin pie.
0 votes. Blueberry pie, 0 votes.
Blueberry pie? What about cherry pie?
They're not on the list. Other got 8%. Pecan pie got 8%, lemon meringue pie got 8%, custard pie 16%, and then tied was apple pie and banoffee pie. The banoffee pie I just don't do.
You don't do banoffee pie?
Nah.
I don't really like banoffee pie either.
No, I'm not on it.
It's just
not
a lot. But it's too much. I think if it was just caramel and banana, I could deal with it, but then there's the cream thing and I'm like, ugh.
Reese was like, wouldn't custard be more of a tart? Pies have lids on top of crusts. The king of sweet pies, though, is apple and rhubarb.
Does a crumble count as a pie?
I don't know. I think that was kind of the contentious issue we had, wasn't it? What I love about these foodie things, and we're probably not going to get a lot of NFL done tonight, but what I think was funny is that the emotion that the pie and the food things bring is just so funny.
Well, people are very passionate about their food, and everyone eats food, so everyone has an opinion.
Chantel from Sydney, international listener.
Yes.
If your vote isn't custard pie, then you're wrong.
Wait, because lots of people like the custard slice thing, and that's something different, isn't it?
Yeah.
And do people like that more than custard pie? I don't know.
I don't know. And then
I'm not massive custard
pie. We always get someone who comes up with some historical amazement.
Oh, let's hear it.
So Dean from Brisbane, he's back again. Dean's back.
Good
I'm astounded by the omission of the English mince pie. While it is usually associated with Christmas...
I did actually text you the Christmas pie.
Mince pie and double sherry for Auntie Joan. It has links back to pagan times and the eating of the earth.
Pagans,
eat
the earth.
Eat
quite
dirt. In the era of the Crusaders, Western knights brought back spices from the Levant, like cinnamon and nutmeg. This ambushed the bland pagan mince pie, giving it an upgrade and a broader appeal. You can almost hear the Mr. Kipling Crusader.
Mr. Kipling, I only like the cherry Bagwells. And those little square thingies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know the square.
Oh, no, those are those, what's it, squares? Vienna squares?
No, not those.
They're
those little,
gross.
like, they're like pink and purple.
Oh, no.
Not the Battenberg.
No, it's not Battenberg.
It's like those little square things that have cake inside. They're brown. I don't know. This is just terrible.
Stuart from the UK, they're all crap. Where's the cheese and port? I've never had a pecan pie, but anything that's pronounced that pecan, that gets my vote. That's Craig.
Cool.
Corin, I see the poll creator has taken on the feedback about the poor, shameful omissions in recent polls.
Oh, brilliant.
I feel targeted.
Oh, do you feel defensive?
I do feel targeted.
Should we go into the defensive division of the AFC North?
Oh, and I've got one more comment.
Oh, you've got one more comment?
All dessert pies are SHT.
Oh, okay.
It's very poor.
That's
meat pies are the tops.
That.
Do not try and convince me otherwise.
Meat pie. What about meat pie. Fruit mince? Because that's kind of meaty.
I think we need to do a full-on dessert that has eclairs, profiteroles, tiramisu. I reckon
we're
that would
French
get...
There.
We are, isn't it, eh?
We're French.
French of France. Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Bonjour, Darren.
Yes, let's have a quick chat of the AFC North, which was created in 2002 after the NFL expanded to 32 teams. Previously, it was the AFC Central Division, which contained the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And shall we start off with the team that actually is three teams in this division, being the Cleveland Browns?
Yes. So we'll just give a quick shout out. We won't get through the whole thing tonight, but we will do a bonus podcast that will get put out so that people can enjoy the full experience of the AFC North.
So, Cleveland Browns. Should we start with Brownie the Elf in the middle of the field? That I was very confused because I didn't hear the news and saw it one day and was like, why is there an elf in the middle of the field during September?
I know. It's kind of almost like Christmas came early in Cleveland. But though, if you look at their recent history, Christmas never comes in Cleveland.
No, it's not a very fun franchise to be a fan of. You've got to be very passionate about them.
Yes, indeed. Founded in 1946, named after the first coach, Paul Brown, after a fan contest.
And their logo is just an orange helmet.
Yes, they've won four NFL championships in 50, 54, 55 and 64.
Shockingly, their colours are orange and brown, and they moved to Baltimore in 1996 to become the Baltimore Ravens. And then also, should we go on to the other team that they were and are now, the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yes, also started by Paul Brown.
Yes, so he's doing really well starting two orange-themed teams.
That's right, and two, wow, what was it? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I don't know why I was going there with some, I thought he'd got an animal link, but dogs and
Bengals, cats.
And cats and stuff like that.
I know, he was like, let's go for a giant.
So they were founded in 68, also named by Paul Brown, after the original Bengals, who were 1937 to 1941, and he's also the name of a stove.
A stove?
A kitchen stove.
I did not know that. They play in a signature tiger stripe helmet, and they have a very cool alternate, which is the white tiger uniform, which I also quite like.
I did have some stove-related fact on where the hell it come from. Their stadium is nicknamed the Jungle, and Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses is the stadium anthem.
Yes, famous fans include George Clooney, Woody Harrelson, John Legend, Carmen Electra and Josh Hutchinson.
Yes, here it is. The Bengals was inspired by a logo on a Floyd Wells Bengal range in the Josephine Pennington's kitchen.
Just to keep it food themed, should we also talk about the strange chili they eat in Cincinnati? the one served on spaghetti. It's like spaghetti bolognese, but with chili.
I gotta let you into a secret. I hate spaghetti. I love pasta, but I hate spaghetti.
Why? What about
fettuccine?
It's just
got that slimy kind.
Pappardelle?
I like the
fettuccine, pappardelle,
penne. I like carbonara. Mm. I like fettuccine. I like ravioli. I like lasagna.
Are you just gonna rank
just
pasta?
Spaghetti. Yeah, I'm just gonna do the pasta.
The pasta,
whatever it's going
to
be.
I don't have to think of a name.
Unlike the Browns, who have appeared in zero Super Bowls, the Bengals have appeared in three.
Yes.
Yes.
Lost all of them.
Yes, they have. And like the Browns, have never won one. 1981 and 1988, they lost to the 49ers in both.
But who they think going to beat them Bengals?
Yes.
Houday Nation is
Houday
their fans.
Houday Nation, playing at the Paycor Stadium.
Actually now not called the Paycor. They bought the name rights back, so now it's just back to the Bengals Stadium as of like 2 days ago.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
And the offensive tackle, Anthony Munoz, if I pronounce that right, Munoz? Was the first player enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for his service to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, and you've got other famous players, Chris Collinsworth, who you will hear on NBC, isn't it? He's NBC now, yeah. NBC calling games, and you've got Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase as the recent Fun Fan Bengals.
Yes, Ocho Cinco? Chad Ocho Cinco, who's now back to Chad Johnson.
I'm pretty sure Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco, yes. Named after his number, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, he actually legally changed his name as well.
And then the third for the trifecta.
Baltimore Ravens,
who were...
The Cleveland Browns.
Established in 96 and named after Edgar Allan Poe's poem, The Raven, which has strong ties to Baltimore.
Yeah, and the mascot is actually called Poe.
They have won two Super Bowls. One of only two teams that have won multiple Super Bowls and never lost one.
Yes, one in 2000 was with their famous 2000 defense, which you will often hear referenced by people.
Yeah, what was that? What was that called now?
What do you mean?
It had a name, didn't it?
No, they didn't name it. Everyone just refers to it as the 2000 Ravens defense.
I thought they had a name. Like all the great things, like the no-fly zone.
Then you got Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. And Ed Reed actually wasn't on the 2000 team because he wasn't drafted yet.
Yeah, how sad. Mm. They play at M&T Bank Stadium, which is located next to Oriole Park, which is the baseball stadium.
Your nickname, The Bank. Famous fans include Michael Phelps, who you will often see, who is a Baltimore native.
The fans are called the Raven Flock.
Yeah, which is because there's quite a few bird-themed teams. Quite a few of them are actually called the Flock, aren't there?
Yes. They have the fourth highest playoff winning percentage and the highest regular season winning percentage of any team.
How do you say the state they're pronounced in?
Maryland.
I say Maryland too.
Maryland, yeah.
But they say like Maryland.
Maryland.
But Charm City is what the city's known for. It's famous for John Hopkins Research University, which you will often Google up whatever symptoms you have that week, and you'll see them that website on there.
And the Baltimore Ravens actually did not, or the original Baltimore Ravens is not a football team.
No, it is not.
It is a wheelchair basketball team.
That's pretty cool.
Of which they bought the rights to the name, and the basketball team became the Maryland Ravens.
That's cool.
There you go. They were formerly the Baltimore Colts.
And then they moved to Indianapolis, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, we did. And in the longer version of the show, I will go through the controversy about what happened to them in 1993 when they tried to enter the league.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So you are definitely going to have to come to the podcast to get the full story.
And shall we finish off with the team playing at Acrisure Stadium, which used to be Heinz, the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yes, probably one of the most famous.
Yes, with their terrible towels, yellow towels flying in the bloody stadium. It looks really good.
I know, they're good at it. They're a bit like Penn State with the whiteout. It just looks amazing when it gets going.
So good.
They have the joint record for the most Super Bowl wins with six.
Yes, Tom Brady has beaten them, though, with seven individual Super Bowl wins.
Yes. They have only had three head coaches since 1969.
And they had some pretty famous players.
Ah, unbelievable. The whole Chuck Knoll thing.
The coach.
Yeah. Like, his drafting.
Oh, for Mean Joe Green and everyone, it's insane.
Yeah, Mean Joe Green in 69.
The steel curtain,
Bradshaw and Blount in 70, Ham in 71, Franco Harris in 72, all ended up in the Hall of Fame. But the one was 1974, Lynn Swann, Jack Lambert, John Stallworth and Mike Webster, all drafted, all went to the Hall of Fame, the only time a team has drafted four Hall of Famers in one single draft.
I know, and they formed, and look now, a defense with a name for you, Darren, the Steel Curtain, which is a good name.
It is a good name. Mike Tomlin, the current head coach, has never had a losing season.
No, and he does have a lot of Tomlinisms, they're called, with the most famous one being the standard is the standard.
Yes. Aaron Rodgers is now the QB. Oh, this is just so not a Pittsburgh Steelers move.
No, I actually, do you know what a fun fact about the city, though? The city has more bridges than Venice, which I was just shocked when I learned that. I was like, oh,
so many teams play in, like, river nation, rivers. Yeah. Like, Jacksonville Jaguars play right on the edge of a river. The Bengals play right on the edge of a river.
You can walk from the main city to Pittsburgh Stadium pretty easily. Yeah.
What was the one that I had here? They have played in 16 more conference championships than the next other team.
But they're, like, their iconic franchise with their iconic Bumblebee uniforms, which I do miss.
They are tied with the Broncos, Cowboys and 49ers for second most Super Bowl appearances with 8.
And the only team with the logo on one side of the helmet.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And but the Browns have got none.
Never. Yeah, no, the Browns. Oh, they had a stripe for a season, didn't they? A stripe down the middle of their helmet and then it went away again.
They are also one of the few NFL teams that don't have cheerleaders.
No, they do not.
They do not. Their current logo was originally used in 1962 as an advert for the American and Iron Steel Institute.
Yes, because shockingly it's a steel city, hence they're called the Steelers.
Fancy that.
Originally Pirates, but now Steelers.
A bit like Sheffield in the UK, that's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Right, well, that is pretty much the end of our very shortened show. This is just a 15-minute show tonight because of our tech issues, so we do apologise for that. But we will be back next week. We've got something special coming, so make sure that you tune in for that. But we will be doing a 30-minute podcast shortly, and we'll have that out there with more facts of our American football teams and some NFL news this week. But for this episode, thank you, DT.
Thank you, Darren. See you next week.
See you next week. Don't forget to check out all of our socials and follow us and subscribe.